Green Divas and Green Dudes come in many shades of green. Here to help you discover and celebrate your personal shade of green are hosts Green Diva Meg and Maxine Margot, veteran radio chicks who share important news about climate change and the plight of human existence, but somehow manage to make most of it fun and sexy using at least 50 shades of green.
Do you suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivity? Then it's time to incorporate the EnviroClean system. Utilizing patented technology, the EnviroClean system safely and effectively neutralizes toxins without leaving behind harmful VOCs. From the solid and upholstered surfaces that surround us, to the clothes we wear, to the very air we breathe, EnviroCleanse provides personal environment protection for everyone. Use code GREENDIVAS to get 20% off site-wide at EnviroKlenz.com.
And so we have a very special edition of 50 Shades of Green Divas, as we have James Cromwell, who I consider a friend of the show. And
does that mean we get to call him Jamie now?
I don't know. You got to ask
him. You do.
Well, you know, for background, he's an Academy Award-nominated actor for his role as the farmer in Babe. It therefore makes perfect sense that he has taken on a role to protect farmers and farmland from the impending ecological disaster at the hands of the oil and gas fracking industries upstate New York. James also won an Emmy for his role in American Horror Story, Asylum. Which now brings me to his current kind of personal horror story as the Keeper of the Earth, which is about to land him in jail. He's part of the Way Yonder Six, gotta love that name, and they were arrested for protesting the CPV plant, which is about to frack oil and gas on pristine land upstate.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the Way Yonder, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it. I'm going to live closer to that now in Sparta, because I'm moving up closer to your area.
Yeah. One is interested about the derivation of that name, like Way Way Yonder.
Wonderful name, isn't it? Yeah, it's very
I think it's native.
Alliterative.
It's really...
Oh, it's yes, but definitely native. I've forgotten the name of the Indian tribe is Minisink.
Mm-hmm.
The Minisink Indians, which is the area where Pramila lives.
Right.
But it's the whole area is very historic.
Yeah, there's a it's also
that's
in
beautiful.
The it's in the Black Dirt area.
Black Dirt region, that's correct.
Which people probably don't know what that is, but it is the most organic kind of earth that you can get, and it's upstate where this they plan to do this fracking and drilling, and it's just insane.
And I just got to put a shout out in for New Jersey because part of it's in New Jersey. Just
right.
saying.
It's Sussex, it's Sussex County, New Jersey, and Orange County.
It's going to be my new county.
What's going to happen to the marijuana medicinal weed that they're going to grow there? I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. That's a whole other part of this story. So, but we welcome you as an eco warrior and leader and an amazing earthling, and so we need to find out what this is about now, and if you can just kind of give us an abbreviated form of the issue with the competitive power ventures and how you wound up in this particular situation.
Yeah.
This company, Competitive Power Ventures, has been building a 650 megawatt fracked gas-powered power plant in this town of Way Way Yonder for about 2.5 years. Maybe the site was a little longer than that. We've been protesting that long. In fact, my partner, she's been protesting because she lives right next to the compressor station, which actually serves the plant, which was segmented illegally. And should have had an environmental impact statement
right.
in reference to the entire project, but they pretended it was for something else, I don't know what. But now we know that compressor station was to feed this plant. So they built this huge power plant in a green zone, agriculturally zoned area, the home of the Black Dirt region, mm-hmm. Wonderful agriculture. in a middle-class community and lower-middle-class community, mostly of first responders, firemen and policemen who work in New York and New Jersey. And it is going to contribute over 10% of the CO2 emissions of the entire energy sector in New York, this one plant.
Wow.
It will, in order to feed this plant, 150 wells have to be dug in eastern Pennsylvania into the Marcellus shale field. So over the 40-year life of the plant itself, there will be literally over 1,000, maybe 1,500 wells will have to be dug in order to provide the gas for this power plant. Now, New York only uses 43% of the energy it now produces. So there is no ostensible reason for this power plant.
Right.
What it is, we call it the head of the black snake.
Mm-hmm.
It is a justification, the raison d'etre, for the build-out of hydrofracking infrastructure, which in layman terms means the pipelines, the compressor stations, the pigging stations, for a pipeline system that will take the product from eastern Pennsylvania up into Canada, where it will be liquefied and sold abroad in Europe and Asia for six times what they can get for it here in America.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas they claim that this is about energy independence, it isn't. It's all designed basically for the foreign market. The reason that gas is viable now is that they have basically very few customers. So they're building these power plants, which will not take nearly the gas that they intend to produce, and our plant, the CPV power plant in Wayweyanda, is the precursor for what will be over 300 power plants across the country, all connected by pipelines, all with compressor stations, all emitting methane, because what they call natural gas, which makes it sound fairly benign,
mm-hmm.
it isn't your grandfather's gas.
It
is basically methane, which is 82 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. And so the very fact of one plant, if we do not stop this plant, then there is no justification for opposing other plants, since the law will have ruled that there is no imminent danger to any community and that it is not necessary to break the law to protest these plants.
Well, I was just saying, so it sounds like this is a precedent setting and why this is so very important, because...
That's correct.
And that there also the question of the necessity defense in a courtroom situation or legal situation. I mean, at this point, that, you know, there's a lawsuit now with children aged, young adults, 12 to 21, suing the federal government because they said they have a right to clean air and clean water. How does this kind of fit in with that in a way?
Well, the necessity defense is based on a legal principle that behind the body of law, there is a higher law. If there were not a higher law that people can reference, then laws that are unjust stay on the books, because as it was during the civil rights movement, which began way before the 60s, back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, when someone violated one of the Jim Crow laws in the South, like drinking out of a white-only drinking fountain, because there was no black drinking fountain or it was broken, and they were desperate for water, they had to take medication or whatever the reason, they applied Jim Crow laws and found that person guilty regardless of the necessity. It's a little bit like what they asked Gorsuch when they were doing the hearings on his appointment to the Supreme Court. And he had found a truck driver guilty of abandoning his truck when he was stuck in a blizzard in the middle of nowhere. And the man knew that if he stayed with the truck, which was his obligation under his contract, he would die.
Mm-hmm.
And so he left the truck to get to safety, which he did, and he was prosecuted. And Gorsuch upheld that.
Oh.
Now, that really should have been appealed. Of course, it wasn't. The case was already settled.
That's
didn't
just terrifying to me.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. It's terrifying. I mean,
this defense has been used back in the Vietnam War era for the plowshare movement and other people who did acts of civil disobedience against military and nuclear installations.
So,
but it has never been successful. No judge has ever allowed the necessity defense to be argued. This is the first time.
Wow. All right. So this is what your defense is.
Yes. Right. We claimed that the evil that we opposed was greater by orders of magnitude than the evil that occurred from the violation of the statute with which we were charged.
Right, in terms of trespassing or whatever they claim.
Yeah, we blocked traffic for 27 minutes.
And for that...
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
For that, you should go to jail.
Yeah.
Well, it is the disparity, the injustice of the sentence compared to the damage that is being done by this corporation, and I must say, multinational corporations, Mitsubishi, GE, and Credit Suisse, who are financing this and who own it, they don't go to jail and will not go to jail when people start dying because they have to leave their homes, there is no food, there is no shelter for them, there's no place to go because the seas will rise, New York will be put underwater by this plant, and plants like it.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's mind-boggling that the lack of empathy or fairness seems to persist, and you would want the legal system to take care of that, yet there's always ways they get around. Now, in terms of the legal, the case, is this something that's still going forward? I mean, aside from your being, going to jail and being arrested for the protest, what's happening on that front?
Well, I refuse to endorse what I believe to be an unjust sentence by paying a fine and doing community service.
Correct.
And now we have an elderly woman who is part of the three of us. There were three of us who refused to pay our fine. And our lawyer is asking for a stay just for her because I think the incarceration may be too much for her. It's very nerve-making for a lot of people. So he is asking for a stay. We have an appeal of the verdict, which will go forward. But we are now being charged not with paying our fine, but for contempt of court. And so there's no appeal for contempt of court. Mm-hmm. So we either have to go to jail or renege on our determination not to pay the fine.
So we're talking to you today and tomorrow. Now, I don't know when people are listening, but you will be participating in another event just prior to going.
Yes, there's going to be a rally at the site, which is the CPV power plant, very near the intersection of Route 84 and Route 6, about half a mile up from Route 17 in Middletown, off of Middletown. It's actually the town of Wayweyanda. And this is to allow the community to show their support for us before we go to jail. We're going to caravan afterwards. And to announce that we have a petition to the governor to deny the CPV power plant. They have one outstanding permit, which is a water permit, which will allow them to build a lateral pipeline from the mini-sink compressor station to bring the gas in to the plant. And if the governor, who has the power to do this, if he agrees to do that, then the plant will not open. So we're trying to put as much pressure on him as possible.
Yeah.
The purpose of the demonstration is in support of us and also to galvanize people to this petition is on our website, which is called protectorangecounty.org. And it will tell you about the history of this plant, the incredible damage done by plants of this type from the fracking fields in Pennsylvania. It's incredible that our governor has a moratorium on fracking. Moratorium on fracking because of the health effects of fracking on local population. And then we turn out to use the gas from Pennsylvania, which is destroying eastern Pennsylvania.
Right.
We have gone from being the fourth largest user of fracked gas in the country to the third largest user. And it's only going to go up as we continue to build these plants.
So it's not enough just to put a moratorium or even a ban on fracking in New York. We've got to stop it from coming, you know, from Pennsylvania, from anywhere, really, honestly.
We have to stop. All fossil fuels have to remain in the ground today.
Right, right.
They are. We had two experts, Tony Ingraffia and Bob Howarth, both from Cornell, both eminent scientists in their fields. And Bob Howarth, during his testimony, said we have 5 to 8 years before the feedback loops, which release the methane that is trapped naturally, both in the steppes in Russia, but also in the ice sheets, which are now melting, that these things then become self-sustaining and are completely out of our control. There is a new article in Nature magazine that it is no longer 5 years, it is now 3 years.
Yeah.
Every day, new information comes to light, which shows that the models on which these predictions are based are underestimating.
They're accelerating, too, yeah.
That's right, the acceleration.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there was just the article came out in the New Yorker magazine. Did anybody see that? Total devastation. I read the whole thing, and I literally cried. I think we all need a little therapy after that, but that particular article, and I can't think of the author's name, but it's all about how underestimated. Now, he may have exaggerated, admittedly, but I think I heard on NPR this morning he admitted he might have exaggerated a little bit, but he was dealing with science and the most dramatic outcomes that could be the trajectory we're on in every area, not just with energy, but with, you know, water and financial collapse and food system collapses.
Correct.
You know, it's
the financial system is down on Wall Street, and Wall Street is surrounded near water by the East River, by the West Side. I mean, it can all go under one day
That'll be the end of that.
Then we don't have to worry about.
Well, when you think of the. What that would cause, the ripples that would cause with the financial center of the world underwater, and you realize all those people, where do they go?
Right.
Oh, they'll be environmental refugees. Well, there already are. People can find out more about what you're doing here, which really is, people, not just about New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania.
No.
This is about what's going on, like you said, the head of the black snake. This is a precedent-setting situation, a legal situation that you've really highlighted and helped to highlight using your celebrity, your star power, if you will. And I really thank you for doing that and for talking to us today about it, because I think we need to broadcast this and amplify it, amplify the message.
You have to bang people over the head constantly, otherwise it just goes away and you become a Twitter or a tweet,
yeah,
just like our leader.
Yes, a twit.
A twit.
It's interesting because even in our own community, I think the majority of people are unaware. I think they know something is being built, but we have so disenfranchised and disillusioned people that they no longer think that anything they do has any consequence, and there's nothing to be done. So hearing information like we're talking about doesn't serve them, and so they would rather not hear.
Yeah.
You have to say if there is no option to the engaging the struggle to protect humanity from extinction. Mm-hmm. If you give up, it will occur willy-nilly. The only chance we have is to fight it at every step. We have found that the the corporate media, is so enmeshed in this industry, so beholden to this industry.
Yeah.
The tentacles of this industry reach everywhere, obviously into our government, but also into the way we communicate with each other. The knowledge of the devastation of global warming was known 20 years ago.
Right.
And a number of companies, but principally Exxon, whose chief executive is now our Secretary of State, withheld that information. In fact, more than withheld it, they propagandized people that everything was under control, that their industry was benign, that there would be no blowback from anything they did, that we should embrace this, that it was they had a sense of the future, and of course all of it was a lie, and all of it will lead to pain and suffering and death, which they will not be held responsible for. And I think the media should also come into is to blame for the ignorance and disempowerment of people.
Well, it's kind of like a creepy dystopian future that is happening. Like maybe 20, 30 years ago, they would have written this into
1984 on the bestseller list again. So go on that. It's as for the media and mainstream media not completely dropping the ball on environmental issues, including NPR, who got rid of two of their environmental reporters.
Right.
Now, if NPR is getting rid of their environmental reporters, then you know somebody's been gotten somewhere. And it's remarkable to me that we as grassroots media is what's getting out the word. And the mainstream, they're just dropping it. It's like the ninth at a list of 10 things that get reported or something, it's number nine.
Really?
Did I hear you say something about not eating, going on a hunger strike?
So I am going on a hunger strike. I mean, I am a vegan and I'm gluten-free, and I certainly can't ask the jail cafeteria to prepare special food for me.
Yeah.
I thought, and also it makes a statement. I object to the sentence. I object to the penal system used to incarcerate over 2 million people, mostly for nonviolent drug crimes.
Yep.
Our justice system needs to be overhauled. It is being used by the power elites, which, of course, write the laws.
Gosh, there's a whole other show privatization of prisons.
It's
horrible.
Yeah. Yes,
horrible.
I know, horrible.
Well,
yeah.
Jamie,
yeah.
We support you in every way possible.
Thank you.
But I just, you know, you're not like a big fat guy, so, you know,
be careful.
Don't go for too long.
Oh, no, actually, no, I called a doctor and found out, actually, lean people lose less weight.
Okay.
So...
Maybe I should just stop eating with you.
Be careful. Be careful.
Jamie, thank you.
Jamie,
thank you so much.
Thank you for doing what you're doing. And
Thank you for inviting us.
We have Pramila Malik is the founder of the NGO Protect Orange County.
All right.
And I'm quoting you in this from this document saying, "This is going to be a great hardship for my children and my family, but I cannot bring myself to feed the corruption that tramples on the lives of so many people." Can you expand on what you're going through right now and how this is all affecting you?
Sure. I mean, we've been fighting components of this project for 6 years now, and families have been forced to walk away from their homes. People are getting sick. Property values are decreasing dramatically. We can feel that the air is getting poisoned, and we're very worried about what's accumulating in our environment. And a lot of people have already left the area because of this project, and more people are planning to leave. And this is all for the sake of the profits of two foreign corporations and the people in government that colluded with them. And it's not fair for the average person to be sacrificed like this and for their lives to be so disregarded. I mean, honestly, the elected officials, shame on them. Shame on all of
them. Yes,
yes. Yeah,
Is Competitive Power Ventures a foreign company?
Competitive Power Ventures is a venture capital firm.
Okay.
But we believe that they're a front for GE Energy.
Oh.
The project was recently purchased by Global Infrastructure Partners, which is a foreign incarnation of the same company. We think it's a collaboration of GE Energy and Credit Suisse with some investments by Mitsubishi. So these are all foreign corporations, and I think they're deliberately foreign because they want to take advantage of certain international treaties and trade agreements in which they would not be held liable for the consequences of what they're bringing forth to our community. The other company involved is Millennium, which is owned by TransCanada now. So, yes, both Global Infrastructure Partners and TransCanada are foreign companies, even though they have American corporations.
Yeah. It's not unusual for that to happen. But
so are you preparing to go to jail also for a week with Jamie and your other friend?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. And that's supposed to happen tomorrow.
Supposed to happen tomorrow. We're really encouraging people to come down to the site at 2 p.m. We're going to have a rally and, you know, help send us off to jail and send a message to the community, to the elected officials, that this is a growing mass movement. We're drawing the red line of resistance in Orange County, and we are not going to give up. They started construction even before they had all of their permits in order to change the ground realities, really to try to demoralize an opposition. So we're going to redouble our efforts and mobilize even harder. We're not at all going to be deterred by their psyops.
That's a familiar story. They did the same thing out with the Dakota Access Pipeline. They were laying pipe without permits before they it's really upsetting. I'm not okay with this.
Yeah, and what they were doing to those who were protesting was even more insane.
Maybe we ought to meet up there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I encourage everybody to come because you absolutely have to see it. First of all, you cannot, you will not, even once you're looking at it, you will not be able to mentally wrap your head around it. It's so enormous. And when you look at it, you are looking at our state's energy policy and you are looking at our state's climate policy. Wai'anda is where rhetoric meets reality, and you will see the reality of our policies. Forget about the rhetoric. It's utterly meaningless. All these posturing about Paris, it's utterly meaningless. The physics of climate change doesn't care whether you're a climate denier like Trump or a climate deceiver. Ultimately, if you create projects that are going to accelerate warming, then you are responsible for climate change, and there's just no way around it. It's totally irrelevant what you say. And so I think, Jamie and I talk about metaphors, and one of the metaphors is like kind of rearranging the chairs on the deck as the Titanic sinks. Mm-hmm. That's what we have people doing.
Right.
We have, and actually, building this power plant and approving this power plant is actually worse than that. It's actually like bashing the hole in the Titanic and making it bigger because methane is 86 times the global warming potential of CO2. So it's much worse for the atmosphere. And our entire energy policy right now is becoming entirely predicated on fracked gas. And that's just, it's just catastrophic for climate change. I can't even tell you what what scientists are telling us, that this is insane. This is an insane policy. Dr. Ingrafia calls it the gasification of New York. We're a state that said no to fracking, but a big yes to fracked gas. So we're appealing to Governor Cuomo to be consistent, to clean up pollution, clean up corruption, and to seriously address climate change and be the climate leader that he seems to aspire to be.
Yes, and so we're going to encourage people. I'm going to try to get this edited and out today. But if people are listening to this after July 14th, where this event that is this rally tomorrow, they can go to protectorangecounty.org and keep abreast of the situation. And I'm saying, my listeners, our listeners in California, people
everywhere.
In Ohio, pay attention because this is relevant to all of us. And this is a fight we all need to pay attention to.
And get active and call Governor Cuomo's office.
Let's be a pain in his butt right now.
Call so much that they can't deal with it and have to do something.
Well, I hope that he aspires to be the environmental advocate that he claims, and let's ask him to step up and prove that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. And climate change affects everybody, everywhere. When you approve a fracked gas power plant, you're responsible for the melting of the icebergs. You're responsible for those wildfires burning community after community and forest after forest in California. You're responsible for the earthquakes. You're responsible for the water contamination in Pennsylvania, the infant mortality rates that are increasing. You're responsible for the whole kit and caboodle, all of it.
Right. So just say no, people.
Yes, no to fracking, and yes to helping. And we so much appreciate all your work and what you're going through and you civil disobedience and jail time, and you know that's what you got to do when you have conviction. So,
yeah.
So thanks for that.
Yes. And,
thank you.
And thanks for taking some time out today to talk with us, because I know you probably have a lot to do.
Okay.
Thank you, Pramila. Thank you so much to Jamie and both of you and all the people that are working with you to make this happen and help make this statement.
You've been listening to the 50 Shades of Green, a collaborative gig between the Green Divas and the Many Shades of Green radio shows, happily recorded at Green Diva Studio. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts and the Many Shades of Green on iHeartRadio, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and Stitcher, among other places. You can find more information about this show and much more on thegreendivas.com.